All us worth saying's question time review, respected from Carlisle to Kiev. Question time, the 20th of October, 2022. The panel, Graham Stewart, Conservative, Jess Phillips, Labour, Tony Danker, CBI, Cornelia Parker, Artist, Camilla Cavendish, Journalist. Venue, Cheltenham. This is what a coup d'etat looks like. The WEF and Remainer vengeance weapons aimed at Brexit vote in Britain include treachery and fake news. Inflation has hit a record high. No, it hasn't. The Tory chief whip has resigned. No, she hasn't. The Tory deputy chief whip has resigned. No, he hasn't. This summer saw the worst drought in 500 years. Bollocks. The London lying media's Brexit-phobic hostility is off the scale. On Tuesday's Channel 4 News, presenter Christian Gurnin Lefty called Cabinet Minister Steve Baker a cunt. The BBC recently broadcast Miriam Margolis telling Jeremy Hunt to fuck off. On Wednesday, ITV's Robert Peston referred to the Chancellor of the Exchequer as Jeremy Cunt. One wonders why the lefty-lovey media life has object, as Jeremy Hunt is hopelessly compromised by his connections to the Chinese Communist Party. His wife's family are held hostage in the city of Zihan in central China. If you find that implausible, have a word with the Hong Kong Chinese over here, who have posted pro-democracy social media content regarding the Crown Colony, former Crown Colony, whilst having family over there. The Chancellor of the Exchequer's wife herself, Lucia Hunt, not her real name, hosts a TV show, Signature Flowers of China, on state-run China International TV Corporation. According to documents lodged at Company's House, Lucia declares herself and signs herself as a Miss Gui Guo, a British resident but a Chinese national. Previously, Mr. Hunt has used his wife's Chinese name on passport to disguise his own business interests. More about the whole sorry tale can be read here. Make no mistake, Mr. Hunt is a traitor operating on behalf of a hostile foreign power. He is not alone. Outside of a few weeks of pre-election overspending, the highest-funded political party in Britain is unindicted war criminal Tony Blair's Reset Britain. A vehicle of the Blair Institute, it turns over $45 million a year, holds $5.8 million in reserves, and enjoys a cash balance of $26 million. Reset Britain is heavy with fake news and advocacy types. Lickspittles on the payroll include Alistair Campbell, Rory Stewart, Trevor Phillips of Sky News and The Times, Peter Kellner, YouGov, and the ludicrous Lord Windrush, Populist Polling. The Institute claims no obligation to reveal donors, but a selective list can be pieced together and is also available here. Unsurprisingly, Sir Anthony Charles Linton Blair is a traitor, acting on behalf of hostile foreign powers. As if the pandemic never happened and the war in Ukraine isn't happening, the WEF and the EU's fifth column on Question Time and elsewhere will blame everything on Brexit and the current government. A sense of unique crisis is being contrived while high inflation in the Eurozone is ignored, as are high interests in the United States, a worse energy crisis than here in continental Europe, and a FTSE, although down, which is still outperforming stock markets in Europe and America. Look at what is happening in France, or rather don't, as mainstream media in London don't tell you. The goal is a change of government out with the will of a well-informed public, both through a wall of black propaganda and misinformation in the run-up to the next election, and by today's decapitating of the government, with the Prime Minister about to be replaced with a globalist Remainer. What's shocking is that none of us are shocked. The first question is, what's happened to Question Time? The news was extended until 10:55 and was followed by local news and a promotional trailer for the 100th anniversary of the BBC. After that came the ominous introduction, in a change to our scheduled programme, and no sign of Question Time, a second victim of today's coup. The replacement programme was Unbreakable, a reality TV programme about relationships. One of the husbands looked like Rod Stewart. Another couple was the excellent Simon Weston and his wife. And the third couple consisted of, surprise, surprise, two husbands. I think I'm going to be sick. By now, it was 11:15, so I gave up and went to bed. Sorry about this, folks. Not a complete waste of time. I don't know about your local news, but on mine, a freight train had derailed, the famous Clitheroe to Gunny cement working, I think, and there was some interesting footage of cement wagons, bent rails and bits of rattler tipped in a river. No matter what the chaos and uncertainty, QT's view keeps calm and carries on. Added to which, it's always a shame to waste one's prep. Question 2, Mr. AWS. What can you tell us about the would-be panellists? Graham Stewart is the Conservative MP for Beverley and Holderness. Born in Carlisle in 1962, Mr. Stewart was educated privately at the £40,000 a year Glenalmond College near Perth, whose former pupils also include the recently deceased Robbie Coltrane. Mr. Stewart studied philosophy and law at Selwyn College, Cambridge, but left without a degree after failing. In the interest of equality of opportunity, Graham employs his sister as his office manager. As Minister of State for Climate, appropriately Mr. Stewart's constituency sits close to Hornsea 2, described by operators Ørsted as the world's largest installed wind farm, which it isn't. As your reviewer types, the wind farms are producing, by wind farm standards, an impressive 9 gigawatts of electricity, meaning about 18 gigawatts of their installed capacity is not being used. At Hinkley Point C prices, covering for the idle 18 gigawatts will require the construction of about £140 billion worth of nuclear power stations. Also appropriately near his constituency is the Drax Biomass Power Station. In the mad world of renewables, Drax generates electricity by destroying the countryside on a biblical scale, transporting it a third of the way around the world and then setting it on fire. As such, Drax is the country's biggest emitter of carbon dioxide and the third largest in Europe. In the year to October 2021, the plant released 14.8 million tonnes of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, while you paid it a subsidy of £800 million for being green. Net zero is a money-gouging fraud. Again, the shocking thing is that none of us are shocked. Camilla Cavendish, not her real name, is a globalist with the Globalist Financial Times. Properly monikered Hilary Camilla Cavendish, Baroness Cavendish of Little Venice of Mells in the county of Somerset, her ladyship was educated privately at £21,000 a year Putney High School before graduating from Brasenose College, Oxford, with a first in PPE. After a brief career in management consultancy, her ladyship became a London media political bubble lifer at the Times, Sunday Times and Financial Times, as well as enjoying a spell as head of David Cameron's Downing Street policy unit. Her husband is Hugh Van Steenis, a senior executive with those solvent and trustworthy innocents at the Union Bank of Switzerland. Posh grammar school girl Jessica Phillips is the daughter of public sector millionaires. Her father was a teacher and her mother rose to be the deputy head of the health service lobby group, the NHS Confederation. Her parents also owned their own company, Health Links Event Management Services, which sold to the National Health Service. In the further interest of equality of opportunity, the company employed Jessica, a tradition continued by Ms. Phillips when she employed her husband as her Birmingham Yardley constituency support manager. It is not only Jessica's odd Brummie accent that is fake, as her heart bleeds for the poor, needy, cold and hungry. Puffins might like to be reminded that she previously used Twitter to boast that she did not even care about her own dead child. Yuck. Cornelia Ann Parker, CBE, Royal Academy Edition, was born in Cheshire in 1965 and studied art at Wolverhampton Polytechnic. A farmer's daughter with a German mother, the installation artist's range is somewhat limited. Her great work, called Dark Matter, consists of bits of rubbish hanging from the ceiling on fishing wire. Subconscious of a moment is bits of gravel hanging from the ceiling on fishing wire, while 30 pieces of silver is bits of tin hanging from the ceiling on fishing wire. In a deviation from her chosen genre, Ireland presents as an illuminated flat-pack greenhouse with mesh where the glass should be. Cornelia supports the Green Party. Remember, as far as the BBC is concerned, this nut knows more about the real world and its challenges than you do. Turning her back on the riches to be earned from suspending bare bottoms from the ceiling with piano wire, Miss Parker's book, Transitional Object Psychobarn, hangs from the rafters at Amazon, a disappointing 1,511,000 798 places, behind the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom. Tony Danker's experience in business extends as far as being a management consultant at McKinsey's, as was Lady Camilla Cavendish, being a special advisor to HM Treasury under Saviour of the World Gordon Brown, and holding a position at Guardian News and Media. Grammar School boy Tony, Belfast Royal Academy, studied law at Manchester University and is a Harvard University Master of Public Administration, as is Lady Cavendish. If a puffin is standing next to the careful now klaxon and thinks it might be heard above the din of a coup d'etat, then bash the red button now. Mr. Danke is a former chair of the Union of Jewish Students. His first employment was at the office of the Chief Rabbi. Tony is currently the Director General of the CBI. In the interests of diversity, Lord Bill and Maria, who was on Question Time with me 3 weeks ago, is the president of the CBI. Speaking of Carlyle in 1962, it is only seven sleeps until this excited reviewer's 50-10th birthday. Have no fear. Days off and parties are for wimps. QT Review will return on my special day, possibly, if I've been a good boy, aided not only by the actual programme, but by a brand new Mac.